You had one of your characters in the movie, in the book, Entangled. I've already turned you into a movie here. undergoing a near-death experience. Tell me why you did that.
Well, this is really fundamental to the story. It's really how the story begins, because the dilemma is that I have these two characters, one of them in the past, 24,000 years ago, and one of them today. And what I'm asking the reader to buy into as a basic concept of this story is that time may not be as it seems. That instead of being a straight line, you know, a sort of arrow that goes from point A to point B, and in which cause can only operate from the past to the future, that actually all time frames may coexist simultaneously, and that it therefore is possible to have contact between different time frames. But the way that I take this in the book is that the contact is at the level of consciousness. I'm not talking about people getting in a physical time machine like Jules Verne's story and being carried physically into the past. I'm talking of an out-of-body journey into the past. And the first out-of-body journey that my modern character, Leonie, who lives in Los Angeles, has, occurs during a near-death experience. She's a very troubled young woman. She's 17 years old. She's in nightmare conflicts with her parents. Her parents, in fact, turn out to be connected to the demonic force, which these two young women are seeking to do battle with. And in a very unhappy episode, in a drug overdose with OxyContin, she almost kills herself. And her soul leaves her body and hovers up towards the ceiling and comes out of her room and overhears a conversation between her parents, where she suddenly understands just a whole range of mysteries in her life and terrible things that were done to her in her childhood. And she carries on from there and travels through a tunnel of light. And I mean, this is one of the extraordinary things about near-death experiences. There's been, of course, a lot of wonderful books published about near-death experiences, The Ring's work, Moody's work, and so on. And really what's amazing about the near-death experience is just this phenomenal level of testimony that when our body and our brain is physically dead, our consciousness survives and can see things happening in the real world, in this world, in what we call the real world, but then is carried through, and again the accounts are the same, carried through a tunnel of light, undergoing a kind of life review, seeing the whole story of your life unfolding, your life unfolding, viewing minutely particular episodes that took place, and then you come through this tunnel and you're plunged into another world, into another realm, and there very frequently relatives or supernatural beings will meet you. And in the case of the near-death experiences, what those relatives or supernatural beings, in my story it's an angel, a blue angel, what they are telling the person is, this is not your time. You have to go back now. You have work to do. And the work that my character Leonie has to do is to be connected through consciousness with this young woman 24,000 years in the past, and to join forces with her to defeat the demon who is traveling through time, who's seeking to manifest fully in the 21st century, and who can only be stopped from doing that by defeating him in the Stone Age. So this near-death experience is a fundamental start of my character's journey.
It's almost like the trigger that got everything going, isn't it?
It's the trigger that gets everything going, and that puts her into contact with a benign supernatural being. There are really two supernatural beings in this story. One of them is a demon, and he's called Sulpa in the Stone Age, and he's called Jack in the modern world. But in the modern world, he's a sort of cloud, an intelligent cloud. He's not yet manifested fully as a physical form, and that's what he's seeking to do by carrying out acts of evil in the Stone Age. And the good force, who is a kind of angel or goddess, is referred to by the modern character as the as the Blue Angel. And it's really a battle, a supernatural battle between these two entities, the demon and the angel. But it's a battle that has to be fought out on the human plane, not on the supernatural plane. The angel is powerless to intervene in the physical material world. She can only intervene by affecting human consciousness. So effectively, she chooses these two young women, who are both caught up in events and times connected to the activities of the demon. She chooses them to do battle with the demon and to assert human independence from this from this demonic control. And so the near-death experience is the first way that that encounter occurs. I then go on later in the book to use other vehicles of altered states of consciousness to bring these two characters together. But it starts with the near-death experience. And just to say a little more about the near-death experience, I think that this is one of the, you know, one of the actually the most under-researched areas in science. Yes, there have been some very good studies and some very good books published on the mystery of the near-death experience, but not nearly enough. Right now in Britain, there's a very interesting project going on in a series of hospitals with emergency rooms. And what they've done is they've put little objects up near the ceiling, up on top of bookshelves in the emergency room, up on top of cabinets. When they have somebody who nearly dies on the operating table, they are then able to question them and actually ask them, did you see this object, or ask them what they saw. And this comes from a very famous case where a woman in a hospital emergency room experienced out-of-body travel. She traveled up five floors in the hospital. She went out of a window, and she saw a tennis shoe lying on the ledge outside the window. And it turned out one of the emergency room nurses afterwards went up, after talking to this woman, went up and actually found that tennis shoe.
Oh, my.
And it's examples like this that just give me chills down my
sure.
spine, which I've gone into, you know, in great length in the novel Entangled, and which really should cause us to ask profound questions about what we are, about what human beings are, and to question the notion that everything stops with death, and to question the notion that our consciousness is confined to our bodies. Once we start questioning that notion, the whole edifice of Western science is really threatened, because it rests on the notion that consciousness is produced by the brain. And if consciousness is not produced by the brain, but is simply mediated by the brain, as the near-death experience suggests, then we're in a very exciting new area of inquiry.